Greetings in the name of Christ to all of you. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a warm welcome this morning from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. A few of our churches are on the preaching plan today as having a digital service. So some of you are watching this or part of this sitting in your local church. And others of you are at home watching this on the circuit website. Wherever you are, I am glad that you are here. It would be lovely to know who's worshipping with us today by computer. So there is a form just above this video. So type in your name and location and click on the red button. Reverend Diane Smith, one of the other ministers in our circuit, is our preacher today, and she's going to be leading us in our prayers. And her message today is one about forgiveness. The filming was done by her in Trinity Methodist Church in Felixstowe. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And please join me now in our call to worship. Your parts are in white. Give praise to God. Praise the Lord, for it is God who saves. It is God who forgives. It is God who offers grace and mercy. Let every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let us give our thanks and praise to the Lord. So let's do just that. Let's sing together and bow and confess that He is Lord. He is King. He is love. He is life. It's number 348 in Singing the Faith. Your words are on the screen, so do sing along at home.
Let us pray. God of love and grace, beyond our telling, we bring our thankful hearts to you, acknowledging that without you we are nothing, and with you we can be so much more. Thank you that you care for us and love us beyond all measure, that you have endless patience with us, that you teach us time and time again what it is to be committed to you and your way. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us in so many different ways. You inspire us and evoke within us a heartfelt response. Thank you that while all this is for everyone who will come to you and accept you, it is for me, and I may know it deep within. With overflowing hearts, hear our prayer. Amen.
Our scripture today is being read by the Finbows from Museum Street Methodist Church. Chris is the circuit property steward, and he's going to be reading about Joseph forgiving his brothers. And Maggie is our circuit safeguarding officer, and she will read from Paul's epistle to the Romans as he tells the Christians there not to pass judgment upon one another.
The reading is taken from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 4 and 10 to 12. "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarrelling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God.' So then, each of us will be accountable to God."
I encourage you later to read that whole section of Romans. There are times when, like Joseph, we all need to forgive one another. Yet we ask, how can we forgive when bonds of love are torn? So often, as Paul said, we want to be the judge, and yet we're not sinless either. There are times when it's us that's in need of forgiveness. So we're going to sing or listen now to number 613. God, how can we forgive?
tears of anguish flow. How can you still release our guilt, the debt we owe? The ocean depth of grace surpasses all our needs. A priest who shares our human pain, Christ intercedes. Who dares to throw the stone to damn another sin, when you are knowing all our past, forgive again? No more we play the judge, for by your grace we live. As you, O God, forgive our sin, may we forgive.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, and I'm reading today from the Message translation. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who turns against me? Seven?" Jesus replied, "Seven, hardly. Try 70 times seven." The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up. So the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay up now." The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it back." But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. The king summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?" The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
All of our readings today feature the overriding theme of forgiveness, and in a moment we're going to briefly reflect on those readings together. But first of all today, I wanted to share with you a time in my own life when I was on the receiving end of much forgiveness. It was about 25 years ago. I was recovering from a bad bout of the flu and I was just beginning to get better. Never a good time to decide that you're going to rummage through your cupboards at home and sort out clothing to give to the local charity shop. But this is what I was doing. And in my hurry and in my haste, and no doubt the fact that I'd not fully recovered from the flu, I somehow managed to put my engagement ring in with all the things that went off to the charity shop. I never did get my engagement ring back again and felt dreadful about it, and felt I needed much the forgiveness, not only of Nigel, my husband, primarily Nigel, my husband, but also the forgiveness of my mum and my grandparents, because the beautiful little engagement ring that I had was our engagement ring, but it also had been the engagement ring of my mum's late sister, Edie, who was engaged at 17 and sadly died of tuberculosis. And her mum, my grandmother, in a great act of love, offered that engagement ring to be used again. So you can begin to understand why I felt in so much need of forgiveness from a number of important people in my life. They all forgave me. I found it much more difficult to forgive myself. And years later, if I'm completely honest, that incident still troubles me and comes back to haunt me. How could I have been so stupid as to lose an engagement ring that had so much value? And also, it was the prettiest of rings. It had tiny little square stones. My point is, sometimes in life, we find it easier to forgive others than we do to forgive ourselves. And that is wrong, because God in Christ forgives all of our sins on the cross. This morning, I could have shared with you a big example of someone forgiving perhaps an horrendous murder. And we can read about such incidences regularly in the newspaper, how people are able to forgive somebody who has committed an horrendous crime. They are able to do this, I believe, by the grace of God. And when someone is able to forgive in this way, they talk of a tremendous burden being lifted from their shoulders. Because we are all very much aware, aren't we, of the psychological impact of our lack of forgiveness of other people. Not only is it wrong not to forgive someone, we damage ourselves by not forgiving other people. But that doesn't mean to say that it is always easy. We now look at our readings. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. It's the wonderful story of Joseph. And I am someone who very much enjoys the musical Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat. And in that musical, of course, as in scripture, the image of the young upstart Joseph, who has all these egocentric dreams, who understandably annoys his brothers, is one that has captured people's imaginations down through the centuries. Joseph really annoyed his brothers, but there was no excuse to do what they then done. They took him out to the desert, and they planned to kill him. But in the end, he's thrown down a well, only to be taken captive. We know how the story ends. We know that Joseph, after being in prison, after interpreting many dreams, after becoming the Pharaoh's right-hand man and being given such a lot of power, Joseph then is in a position to distribute grain. And his starving brothers come seeking the food their family so desperately need. Here was Joseph's chance, a wonderful chance, to retaliate. But Joseph has learnt much in his time in prison. Nelson Mandela also learnt much in his time in prison. Both Joseph and Nelson Mandela emerged from the place of hardship as more rounded individuals, more able to forgive, more able to ensure that other individuals, because of that forgiveness, have a deeper and richer quality of life. In our reading from Romans, Paul urges members of the church in Rome to respect the opinions of others and leave judgment to God. We're not always able to do that. But Paul conveys wise words in this passage about leaving judgment to God. Elsewhere, he tells us, do not be quick to take offence. That's a marvellous passage of scripture to try and internalise in our own lives. Do not be quick to take offence. It's always wise, if someone has angered us for whatever reason, to count to 10 and to remember that we are not in the place of judgment. Only God is in the place of judgment. A wise counsel indeed, to never be quick to take offence. And then we have our reading, our gospel reading from Matthew. Jesus telling one of his marvellous parables. In this parable, a slave is forgiven his debt, and the debt is huge. That same slave then goes out and fails to forgive the debt of another. The message is clear. God has forgiven us so much. We are called as Christians to forgive others. This is not an easy calling, but we are called to have the attitude that Christ Jesus had. And the attitude that Christ Jesus had is reflected time and time again in his life and ministry, in the way that he both heals and forgives individuals their sin, perhaps knowing that the burden of their sin is a far greater burden than their physical disability. And on the cross, Jesus forgives the thief. And on the cross, Jesus has forgiven us and forgiven the whole of humanity. It is worth remembering that some of our greatest hymns are written in the context of forgiveness. A hymn that regularly features in the top 10 of this nation's favourite hymns, is the hymn written by former slave trader, John Newton, who wrote the words, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." He received so much forgiveness, and as a result, in his life, people then saw so much grace and service. His life was completely turned around from slave owner to slave reformer. This is the power of God's forgiveness. No wonder Jesus in the Lord's Prayer instructs us, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Amen. We come now to our prayers of intercession. And included in today's prayers of intercession is a prayer of confession. And we pray that prayer together now. Let us pray. Forgiving God, more willing to forgive than often we are to confess, help us always to see our failings, to see where we fall short, to see where we so often deceive ourselves, and where we close our eyes and ears to the ripple of our own wrongdoing. May we grieve in the reality of our actions, the need to change, the depth of our unworthiness. May this be more apparent to us. We come before you, seeking your forgiveness. Now let us breathe in the power of your forgiveness and breathe out the need to live and love in the shadow of your forgiveness of us, that we may forgive as you have forgiven us. We continue with our prayers of intercession. Jesus' parables inspire us to pray for those who forgive us for big and small things. Let us pray for those who do not forgive, no matter what. Let us pray for those who do not know how to forgive. Let us pray for those who do not want to forgive. Lord of all, of our own private lives, our community lives, and our lives lived in the world at large, we seek your forgiveness this day for our individual and corporate sins, for the sins of the nations of the world. God of forgiveness, in the silence, hear all of our prayers, we pray, in the name of Christ. A few moments of silence for you to offer your own prayers.
This week, we particularly hold the people of Kesgrave in our prayers. For the young man who was shot and remains in a critical condition, we pray for your healing. We lift up his family as they watch and wait and ask for strength for them. For the accused shooter who faces imprisonment, we pray for justice to be carried out, and for mercy and forgiveness. For the school children who are traumatised, bring them peace and courage. Holy One, we lift these prayers to you and pray in Jesus' name as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Diane Smith, for your message. You know, I lost my engagement ring many years ago too. It wasn't quite as valuable as yours, but I had to forgive the burglar who broke into my house and was never caught. Forgiveness and grace are such an important part of living Christian lives. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in our worship today. Chris and Maggie Finbow from Museum Street for reading our scripture, Elizabeth Story and Neil Heffelwaite from our circuit on vocals, and my husband Adrian Pell on the keyboard and vocals, and for doing our video editing. Next week in our online service, Reverend Andrew Sankey will be our preacher, and in his message, Life Worthy of the Gospel, he will reflect on Philippians 1, verses 21 through 30, and Christian hope. So as we come now to the time for our offertory, I invite you at this time to remember your local church, whichever church that is, and to give generously to their work. Thank you. Let us pray a blessing over that offering. Gracious and loving God, we come offering these gifts in response to your great gifts of grace and mercy. Bless us as we proclaim that grace and mercy through the service of our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we're going to close today with John Newton's hymn that Diane was talking all about. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God's grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It's number 440. As you have been forgiven, now go into a world that needs your forgiving, healing touch. Go to bring peace and hope to others, sharing God's love with them. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.